In a sterile Massachusetts hospital in 1968, Ashima Ganguly gives birth to her first child, thousands of miles from the warm circle of women who would have surrounded her in Calcutta. As she endures labor pains, her husband Ashok sits anxiously in the waiting room, his mind drifting back to a catastrophic train accident he survived years earlier, a night when a Russian short story by Nikolai Gogol quite literally saved his life. When hospital administrators demand a name for their newborn son before discharge, a concept foreign to Bengali tradition, where formal names are chosen carefully by elders, Ashok makes an impulsive decision. He names the boy Gogol, a temporary placeholder that will unexpectedly become permanent when the letter containing the child's intended formal name never arrives from India. This seemingly small administrative detail sets in motion a lifelong struggle with identity that will shape their son's existence between two worlds, carrying the weight of a history he doesn't fully understand. The Gangulis construct their American life methodically. A modest apartment near Harvard, weekend gatherings with Bengali immigrants, traditional ceremonies performed with improvised materials. Ashima weeps through nights without her family support network, developing survival routines, feeding Gogol at 6, cooking during his naps, taking walks, occasionally meeting Ashok on campus. Letters from India arrive with her father's animal drawings that she tapes above Gogol's crib. They form a makeshift community with other Bengali families who gather to share homesickness over tea with evaporated milk. They celebrate Gogol's Annaprasan, first rice ceremony, dressing him as a Bengali infant groom with a paper aluminum foil headpiece. These rituals maintain their heritage, though adaptation follows. Ashok adopts ballpoints and casual clothing. They permit their children American foods like wrapped cheese slices. Yet they worry when their children sound just like Americans, expertly conversing in a language that still at times confounds them. In elementary school, Gogol doesn't mind his unusual name, even seeing himself in road signs like Go Left. During a sixth grade cemetery field trip, he realizes his family follows Bengali cremation traditions rather than burial. Making rubbings of tombstone names, he confronts how names die over time, that they perish just as people do. His mother, horrified, refuses to display these mementos. Death is not a pastime. By high school, Gogol hates his name, absurd, neither Indian nor American, but Russian. He resents having a pet name as his formal name with no connection to his identity. When his father gives him Nikolai Gogol's short stories for his 14th birthday, he sees no connection to the Russian author. Before Yale, Gogol legally changes his name to Nikol, the good name his parents originally intended. This self-renaming represents his attempt to control his identity. Yet his family still calls him Gogol, and he responds to both names, living a split existence mirroring his cultural duality. Gogol's romantic relationships reflect his identity struggles. In college, he dates Ruth, a white American. When she studies abroad at Oxford, Gogol experiences the same longing his parents felt for distant loved ones. They drift apart after her return. Later, as Nikol, he falls for Maxine Ratliff from a wealthy New York family. He immerses in her privileged world, swimming in their New Hampshire lake, lounging barefoot, skinny dipping under stars. He contrasts this with his parents' approach to vacations, either anxious trips to Calcutta or hurried sightseeing. With Maxine, he temporarily escapes his Bengali identity, living as Nikol without cultural complications. This escape ends when Ashok dies suddenly. Gogol travels alone to Cleveland to identify his father's body and clear his apartment. Only then does he learn the full story behind his name, how the book saved his father during the train accident. This revelation comes too late for conversation, leaving Gogol to process this alone, suddenly aware of all he never understood about his father. After his father's death, Gogol experiences a profound shift in his relationship with his heritage. The loss creates a void his American lifestyle with Maxine can no longer fill. He breaks up with her, realizing her comfortable world feels almost offensive against his grief. While sympathetic, she cannot grasp the complex layers of his loss. He begins spending nearly every weekend with his mother and sister, drawn to his father's framed photograph, the closest thing to a grave on American soil. This simple image becomes a focal point for their mourning, a makeshift shrine bridging Bengali traditions with American reality. They drape fresh garlands around it on significant days and anoint it with sandalwood paste, gestures Gogol would have found embarrassing months earlier, but now feels essential. The family observes traditional Bengali mourning rituals with new purpose, maintaining dietary restrictions of simple rice, dal, and vegetables. Though Gogol had dismissed these practices when performed for distant relatives, he now finds unexpected comfort in their austere simplicity. During his cultural reawakening, Gogol meets Mushumi Mazumdar, a childhood acquaintance from their Bengali circle. Despite skepticism about arranged introductions, their shared background creates an unexpected connection. Within a year, they marry in a lavish Bengali ceremony, though both privately wish for something simpler. What seems like an ideal cultural match becomes another identity negotiation. Mushumi keeps her maiden name professionally, disappointing Gogol, who hoped she'd take Ganguly to honor his father. In Paris, where she lived before marriage, Gogol feels inadequate as she navigates confidently while he remains silent among her friends' friends. He realizes she reinvented herself there without guilt, something he's never managed to do. Their marriage's fractures surface when Mushumi drunkenly reveals to dinner guests that Nikol changed his name. When pressed, he reluctantly admits Gogol, a name now strange to his ears. The guests immediately make jokes about Nikolai Gogol, while Gogol is stunned that she's turned his private history into casual entertainment. The novel concludes with Ashima selling the family home after 27 years. She plans to divide her time between Calcutta and America, 6 months in each place, living without borders, true to the meaning of her name. She sorts through decades of possessions, feeling torn about returning to an India that now seems somewhat foreign. She'll miss her American life, but especially the country where she came to know her husband. Though his ashes were scattered in the Ganges, it's in America where he dwells in her mind. At his mother's final Christmas Eve party, Gogol helps assemble their artificial tree with color-coded branches they've perfected over decades. They decorate it with childhood ornaments, wrapping the base in one of Ashima's old Banarasi saris. Gogol recalls their first Christmas tree, a tiny plastic thing he begged for as a child. His mother reflects on learning American traditions solely for her children's sake. In the final scene, Gogol discovers the short stories of Nikolai Gogol in his childhood bedroom with his father's inscription. As his mother entertains downstairs, he begins to read, finally embracing both parts of himself, finding peace between cultures, between names, between worlds.